good. Praise the Lord. All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 13. The 8th chapter of Acts, and we'll begin at verse 13. I'm going to talk to you about a fellow named Simon. This Simon in Acts chapter 8, I don't think I have ever preached a message about Simon. I've read it many, many times. You've read it many times. But I don't recall ever preaching a message about Simon. But something jumped out at me in the scripture that just really got my attention. And I wanted to talk about this. And let's go ahead and start at verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And I call your attention to verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." And I want to talk to you about those words, "the thought of thine heart." What are our thoughts? What are our innermost thoughts? And Simon here, really, it could be very helpful to you tonight if you will listen and you'll let God speak to your heart. Father, please work in our hearts tonight and speak to us through your word and show us some things that would help us with these thoughts that are in our hearts, these thoughts that come up, these thoughts that trouble us at times, these thoughts that are thoughts that will drag us down often. Please help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Simon here was a man that used, the Bible says he used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. He was like a magician, perhaps, or maybe he was actually involved in the occult. The word sorcery here is one for like a magician. He did some miraculous things, let's put it that way. And they could have been tricks, they could have been real occult practices. Don't think the devil's not alive and able to do certain things. God has allowed him to do things. And so the Bible does not say, it just says the people did. He had their attention. And we have the idea perhaps that he made a living doing this sorcery and having that kind of a life. And the Bible says they all gave heed from the least to the greatest. I mean, they thought that he was very powerful, perhaps even the power of God. They watched him do these tricks or whatever it might have been. They had regard, verse 11 says. He had bewitched them. And that's a key word here. He had bewitched them with sorceries. In other words, he had them paying very, very close attention to him. And I think he made a living with this. And that was very common in those days. But then people get saved in verse 12. They believe Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, Philip preached and people got saved. Great revival takes place and God uses him. People believe. They were baptized, men and women. But then verse 13 says this, "Then Simon himself believed also, Now, it's interesting. You know, the commentators, some say that Simon was faking it. He didn't really get saved. The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that, though. The Bible seems to indicate that Simon actually believed. And I don't have any, you know, I don't have any reason to doubt that. It doesn't say that he faked salvation. It just says Simon himself believed. And the key word there is also, going back to all the rest of them, it's like Simon must have got saved. And by the way, the Bible says he was baptized. Now, I know he does something very foolish in a few minutes, but have you ever done anything foolish? So Simon, and he blows him. He really does. And I, you know, I'm reading commentators, and it's interesting. You know, they all say, well, obviously he didn't mean it. And I think, well, I wonder if any of us meant it. So anyway, so I'm reading this, and Simon himself believed also. Now watch this. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Now he's with him. And wondered. By the way, that word wondered is the same word that is used about the people being bewitched with him. In other words, people watched Simon do his thing, and whether it was a trick or whether it was a power of the devil, I don't know, but they were bewitched. They wondered about him. Well, now Simon sees what they're doing. Now Simon is watching the miracles that God's apostles are doing. He's watching God's miracles, and now he is bewitched, the Bible says, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And we know the signs were amazing signs when the Holy Ghost came upon the people. And now Simon is bewitched with that. He can't hardly believe. By the way, you may see the power of the devil, and you may see trickery in this world, and you may see all kinds of things that are duplicated by Satan, and certainly he can do that, but you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the power of God. And I love that when it says, you know, Simon, all these people say, wow, look at this Simon guy. Now Simon is following God's people and he's following the Lord. And he's saying, wow, look at this power. I've never seen anything like this. Well, and he's a new convert. Okay, let's assume he didn't trick him and fake his way in. Let's say he got saved. And now he's wondering about all this and he's amazed with it. And so the Bible says later on, he saw, verse 18, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. That's it right there, the Holy Ghost. He offered him money. By the way, praise God. Wouldn't that help the offerings? I mean, he offered them money saying, I want that power. Okay, so doctrinally, he's not right. Would you agree? Is his heart right? Well, no, because later on Peter says, your heart's not right, buddy. But he says, this is something, I've never seen anything like this before. And in the only way that he knows how to deal with this, the only way, and where did it all come from? It all came from the thoughts of his heart. The thought of his heart. What was in his heart? Well, it was all the junk from the past. Was it the occult? It might have been. He might have been a witch, a warlock, a wizard, a necromancer. He might have done all those things. He might have done Ouija boards, and he might have done seances, and he might have done all that stuff. He may have been so steeped in that. It was his life for years and years and years. And those thoughts started going through his mind. Wow, I'd like to have that power. I'd like to have that kind of power. And maybe he was even thinking of using it in the wrong way. I don't know. But it's very interesting what takes place. Because Peter said unto him, verse 20, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And obviously, he's got to learn here. You can't purchase the gift of God with money. You can't purchase salvation with money. You can't, there's nothing spiritual that can be gotten because you have lots and lots of money. And he had to learn that. But notice what happens. And this is what the message is all about. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So in the sight of God, now wait a minute, Simon, really, he hadn't done anything real bad yet. He just came to Peter and said, hey, listen, I'll give you 20 bucks if I could have that power. You know, I'd rather not go through all the Christian growth classes. I'd rather just have that power now. I'd rather not, have to surrender my life to God. I'd rather, hey, you know, if I could just have that power now, I'll take that power. And again, Simon, you're wrong. You shouldn't do that. But he says, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And right as of yet, Simon has not tried to peddle this thing. Simon has not done anything in front of anybody else. But his heart is not right in the sight of God. He says, repent therefore of this, thy wickedness. It's wicked. and pray God if perhaps, now watch this, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He's saying, Simon, your thoughts, what's in your heart, it needs to be forgiven you because you're thinking wrong. Your thinking is, it would lead you. Now look, if Simon decides that money can buy the power of God, and if he has that power, he's going to sell it to other people, he'd be just like most Christian television today. Help me out a little bit here. He'd be like a lot of Christians today. You know, hey, this is a way to make money. This is a way, and boy, we know that wouldn't be right. Amen. But you see, what is happening here? It's being caught as a thought. Repent of your thought. Get your thought right. And Simon, if you get your thoughts right, if you repent of your thought, the wicked thought that you have, if you get it right, then you're not going to go out here and do something that is wrong. Now, folks, the Bible talks over and over about our thoughts. All over Scripture, there's so much in the Bible about our thoughts. And because our thoughts they're a catalyst to our sin nature. I mean, they'll get things going and get us in trouble before. And so many times people say, you know, if I hadn't have thought it, I wouldn't have done it. You know, Simon, if you don't think it, if you'll get right in your thoughts, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And if it's forgiven there, then it's going to be okay. You're not going to mess up. And by the way, Simon answered. Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me." I really think he thought what his life was. I don't know where you came from, but where I came from, my thoughts weren't good. You know why they weren't? My actions weren't good either. And some of those old thoughts, sometimes they try to jump out there again. And God says, "Boy, you better get control of your thoughts." Three things and then several sub-points. Number one, recognize the problem. Recognize the problem. Verse 21, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Why wasn't his heart right? Because the thoughts of his heart weren't right. Do you understand that if we would all catch it there, we'd save ourselves a lot of heartache? If everybody in this room, I'm talking about pastor all the way back, if we'd all catch it with the thoughts in our heart and get that right, we'd save ourselves a lot of problems. You wouldn't say what you're going to say that's going to get you in trouble. You wouldn't go where you're going to go that's going to get you in trouble. You wouldn't do what you're going to do that's going to get you in trouble. Instead, you think it and say, that is not right, and you get it right. Simon, your thoughts aren't right. The thoughts in your heart. Folks, we need to recognize the problem. The fact of the matter is, some of us have been saved a long time now. But when you first got saved, you remember those bad thoughts coming to your mind, and it horrified you. It made you angry. It scared you. Like, why is that there? I got saved, and why am I thinking that thing? And I shouldn't think that kind of thing. That's not right. And boy, you were very aware of it, but we become Christianized. And all of a sudden, we dwell on thoughts we should never, ever allow anywhere near us. We dwell on things in our mind that we should never, you know. I honestly, Simon hadn't been saved very long. I mean, I kind of understand why that might be his thought. I kind of understand how he's amazed at what's going on here and how, yeah, you know, I might be able to make a little money off of this somehow. I understand that's not right, but I understand how he might think that way. You know, it's like somebody that goes from rock music and they're a rock and roller, and then they decide to they get saved, and it automatically, the thoughts, and as long as they don't have anybody tell them the truth, then they would go right to Christian rock. Just makes sense. Okay, but anyway, that's a whole other subject. But recognize the problem. The problem starts in our heart. It's our thoughts. The thought of thine heart. You know, it, so clearly, he says, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Tells me right away, nobody knows what I'm thinking, but he does. Your heart's not right. But I didn't do anything. You know, it wasn't that bad. All I did was, but God sees the thoughts of your heart. I don't know what was going on with Simon. In my mind, I think Simon might have been the very first charismatic
evangelist, you know, on his way to that. You know, he just thought, money, money, money. Hey, I can make a lot of money off of this stuff. You know, I could have a big show and maybe have an amusement park and woo, I'll make all kinds of money. You know, I don't know what was going on, but something was going on in his mind that was in his heart, and it led the Lord to point out to him through the preacher that your heart's not right in the sight of God because your thoughts aren't right. I wonder how many here tonight, if we put the thoughts up on the screen, it'd be very obvious that, boy, you know, this is what God sees. And all I'm saying is, okay, get it settled there. Recognize the problem. Get it settled. God saw a man whose past was a very wicked past, probably and very possibly an occultic past. And God said, I know what's in your heart. I know what you're thinking, and you need to get right. Your heart is not right. Recognize the problem. Recognize the problem. You know, when we get saved, we realize something, and that is we need to go by what God's Word says and not by what we think. It's new. We're different when we get saved. Amen? I mean, it's a new life that we have. It's not the old life. And the thing that was so obvious to me, because I went to the right kind of a church, it was so obvious to me that this Christian life isn't the same as my old life. Therefore, my thoughts just didn't go along. I've told you, you know, my wife and I sat in church service, and I mean, we looked just like the rest of the world, and that preacher just went ahead and preached, and I mean, we had to try to figure out how. Good night. I mean, we're uncomfortable about this. But it's so good that as the thoughts come to our mind that are the old life thoughts that want to drag us back into that old life, if we could just get them right. If we could just say, I know this thought's not right. I know this doesn't belong here. This mind is a mind of Christ. And all that junk from my past, it doesn't belong there because it's an offense to His Word. Recognize the problem. Number two, realize the power of your thoughts. In verse 22, it's immediate. He says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Realize the power of your thoughts. Do you understand? If you never thought to sin, you wouldn't sin. We don't sin by, oops, I made a boo-boo. We think about it. And as Christians, especially seasoned Christians, we plot, we plan. Why? Because we don't want to get caught. We don't want anybody to know. Right? Yeah. What is that? That's our thoughts. That's the thoughts of our heart. Realize the power of our thoughts. You know, our thoughts feed our sin nature. They just feed it. They can feed it or they can defeat it. You know, it just depends on what you think. But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think? What do you think during a church service? What do you think during a teenager? What do you think during the teen meeting? What do you think as you read your Bible? You ever get frustrated? You're reading your Bible and all of a sudden wicked thoughts come to your mind? What? Yeah, understand. Listen to me. We need to realize the power of our thoughts because our thoughts can feed our sin nature and our thoughts can lead us to being drawn away from the Lord. You know, it's our nature to sin. That's that old world. That's the old way. And when we have wrong thoughts and we let wrong thoughts in, it's going to be pulling on us. You know, I have Christians all the time say, Pastor, it's just I'm having a hard time with my Christian life and doing right. It's just hard to do right. But I'll tell you, if you would control your thoughts, you'd be amazed how different it would be if you just control your thoughts. That's why we preach like we do about music. It's why we preach like we do about television and about movies and about watching things. Because your thoughts, everything is going into your mind, and it is a thought that can either feed your sin nature or defeat your sin nature. And you got to decide what it's going to be. If you control your thoughts, you control that sin nature. You will have control. Thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Here's how it is, okay? A child sees candy on a shelf, looks around. Thought comes, I wish I had that candy. Well, it's not mine. Thought comes, yeah, but nobody will know if you take it. Well, yeah, but you're not supposed to take things. That's stealing. Thought comes, well, but nobody's going to know. And as long as you don't get caught, it'll be all right. And you really want that candy. And again, this goes through the mind, and it's a battle that takes place. We won't ask for a show of hands how many of you ever had those thoughts. But I guarantee it's most of us in here. Whether you carried out the act or not, I don't know. But I can tell you this, if you did go ahead and steal it, that time, the second time, it was a lot easier. And the third time, it was a lot easier. And the fourth time, you almost didn't even think about it at all, because thoughts lead to action. Action leads to habits. You know our bad habits that we have now, the habits that you have that are what you would call bad habits? You used to think about it. You used to think about not doing it. You used to think about now. You don't even think about it. Good example is cussing. You know, for so many people, it's part of their language. That's the way I was as a teenager. It was just part of my language. You know, but I'm sure there was a day as a young person, there must have been a day the first time I cussed, I felt bad about it and thought, wow, you know, I wish I didn't. And maybe the next time I thought about it a little bit, and well, that wasn't a good thing. And maybe the next day, but after a while, it just became a habit. You understand, once we become in habitual sin, and whatever that sin might be, do you understand how hard it is then? Talk to Reformers Unanimous folks. They'll tell you how hard it is to get away. You know, a person didn't become an alcoholic except that they thought about it first. They watched a beer commercial and thought that was really, really something else. They watch whiskey commercial, whatever it might be. You know, they talk to people about it. Oh, this must be cool. And if they never would have thought about it, or if they'd have just killed it in their thought life, they never would have become an alcoholic. You see, after a while, we give no thought to it, and we just do it. Stealing, lying, drugs, language, smoking, all those kind of things. You know, if we just would repent, if we'd get it right, as right there in the thoughts, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. I mean, honestly, you think of people that have gone to jail for stealing. You think of people that have gone to jail for stupidity. You know, Larry could tell you. I mean, so many people just it's like, why did I do that? Well, because you thought about doing it. That's why you did it. You know, why did you plot that scheme out and think well, because we thought about doing it and we talked ourselves into it. The guys in the newspaper, it's been a couple weeks ago, they decided to get the guy on disability, so they shot him in the leg. Brilliant. Just absolutely, you know, where's that? It comes from their thoughts. It comes from their mind. It comes from a thought that is totally out of control. Simon, look, listen, Simon. Hey, Simon, pay attention now. Don't even think that kind of stuff. That is a wicked thought. Don't even think that you can commercialize the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't even think it. Don't even think that you can make your millions and by using the power of God. Don't even think it. Don't even ever think about lining people up for healing lines and charging them $500 a pop. Don't even think that. Don't even think that way. That is not what God wants for your life. Don't even think it. Simon said, pray to the Lord for me. Pray to the Lord for me. Well, you know what I think he was thinking of? That none of these things which he have spoken come upon. I think he had a little memory of Ananias and Sapphira, maybe. I'm not sure. You know, he got to think, you know, God does kill people. Pray for me. Recognize the problem. right here, right here. You know where you came from, what you did, how you did it, all those things. Those aren't going to leave you alone. Recognize the problem. When is the last time you said, God, help my thoughts to be pure? God, help my thoughts to be right. God, help my thoughts to be what you would want me to think. God, help me to know that my thoughts are like a movie screen before you. Wouldn't it be scary to put our thoughts up on the screen? We can't do that. But God sees it. Recognize the problem. Number two, realize the power of our thoughts. It'll make or break you. It really will. People whose lives are destroyed, it all started right here. I say here, in the heart, the heart, the thoughts, number three, repent in prayer. That's so clear what he said. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Simon, what'd you do? I thought. It's wicked. Your thought is wicked. Some of you, you got pornographic thoughts because you look at it, and I'm going to tell you something, you're that close to going to jail. Oh, no. I'm safe. It's right. I'm telling you. You are that close. Young lady, you're that close to ruining your life because of the thoughts. That's all it is. You say, but get off me, man. It's just my thoughts. And just your thoughts are going to lead you to ruining your life. That's why we have to repent in prayer. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. What do you mean? God, forgive this thought. That's what I mean. Repent. What's it mean? It means change your mind. Change your mind. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Change your mind. Change your thoughts. Repent in prayer. You got to change your thoughts to change bad habits, to change lifestyles. Honestly, it seemed like the most impossible thing in all the world when I got saved that there was any way in this world I could possibly ever do anything for God because I knew me. But the best thing in the world was I got to know Him. And I recognized that He can do anything. But He's just looking for somebody that says, that's what I really want. I'm sorry, you can't tell me that it can't be done. I can't do right. Teenager, you can do right. You got to want to do right. Mom and dad, you can do right, but you have to want to do right. You have to start with your mind and saying, God, forgive my thoughts. Oh yeah, thoughts of divorce. God, it's a sin for me to think that way. It's a sin for me to think that way. Thoughts of quitting church, it's a sin for me to think that way. Thoughts of giving up on God, that's a sin, God, that I would ever think that way. Oh, you could have a revival just in your brain. Honestly, you'd not have to tell anybody, just you and God, hey God, you know what I'm thinking, that's wicked, that's sin, that's wrong. Thoughts of bitterness, God, this is a sin. It's a sin. Boy, you know, so-and-so really irritates me. God, that's a sin. That's your child. It's a sin, God, that I would think those things about them. Amen. Oh, listen. Repent in prayer, Simon. Repent. Change your mind. And I have some sub-points under this that just really is I think it'll help you if you'll listen. Number one, again, was recognize the problem. Number two, realize the power of thoughts. Number three is repent in prayer. And now comes, you know, really, really the action that we have to take. And these just fall into this. Number one under this, or capital A, is resist the devil and he will flee. You have to resist. It's a war, folks, honestly. It is a war. It's a battle. That you know, praise God for young people that grow up in a church and a Christian school And honestly, other than the fact that you got curious and you delved into things you shouldn't have, praise God you don't have a lot of garbage in there yet. Praise God your parents tried and they're still trying to protect you from getting garbage in your mind. And praise God your battle isn't quite like it was for some of us. But it is a battle. You have to resist the devil. Resist the devil. That means consciously resist him. That means consciously fight him. That means it's not. I'm not saying let the devil do his own thing. I'm saying you have to resist the devil. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. It is a battle that we have to fight. There has to be resistance. There has to be a resistance where you recognize, okay, I've got a problem here, and I know this problem, it literally is it is messing up my whole life because my thinking is wrong. Doesn't Currington do something on stinking thinking? Is that where I heard that? I know there was something like that. And you know, I've got a lot of stinking thinking in my life, and I've got to get in this battle or I'm going to lose. It's like sitting in church right now and you're sitting there thinking, oh, this is so stupid. I can't win this battle. No, 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 no. Resist the devil. Shut up, devil. I can. I can do all things through Christ. It's a battle. You've got to get yourself in it. It's a battle. And you have to believe that you're going to win this thing. Amen. That's resisting the devil. Hey, I'm taking on the devil here and I'm going to, because he knows what we think. He can't read your mind. He just knows what you've done. You don't suppose, Brother Letson, that the devil doesn't remember all my 45s I used to listen to? He knows all of them. Sure he does. And the albums, he knows them. He knows all that stuff. He knows what I read. He knows. He knows what I saw. That's why we tell you, young people, honestly, I wish you'd listen, young people. I just wish you would listen to some of the old folks here. We know what we're talking about. Because if you don't put it in here, he won't have anything to draw from. If you will just protect these, if you just protect them, you wouldn't have to resist like we have to resist. Resist the devil. Okay, we're under repentance and prayer. A is resist the devil. B is renew your mind. Renew your mind. It's essential. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. By the way, be not conformed to this religion. Amen. It's not, he doesn't want you to be conformed to this religion. He wants you to be transformed. He wants your life to be transformed. Because you know what? If you're conformed to this religion, that means you simply, like a chameleon, have put on our colors. Only to change them when you get around another color. Happens all the time. We can be great Christian in church and look like the devil and his gang at the fair. You know why? Because you're conformed, you're not transformed. How am I going to be transformed? Well, the Bible says here, you renew your mind. How do I renew my mind? I put new things in it. I renew it with the old things that I know are right. It's the only way. Okay, I like the world, I'm going to do my own. Okay, you are, and you will end up reaping what you've sown. But I promise you this, renew your mind. When I got saved, all I knew was a wicked life. All I knew was cuss words. All I knew was wrong things and wicked stuff. And I had to, obviously, something had to happen. Something had to change. I told you, the first time I preached, I was terrified. Brother Hawkins, I was scared to death I was going to cuss. I wrote things and wrote notes down. I was supposed to preach to a bunch of teenagers. I was coaching the basketball team. I was 18 years old and just a new Christian. And I wrote things down, and I actually wrote a couple of cuss words. I said, I can't say that. That's not going to work. You know, you can't do that. And I had to scratch that out. And I was scared. Why? Because that's what was in my mind. You wonder why you do what you do. You wonder why you're the one that says, I didn't think I'd ever do that. Yeah, but you did think. Because that's how you did it. Because it was in here. You watch stuff. You put that in your mind. You listen to stuff. And it's time that we have to renew our mind. That's why the right music's so important. It's not about what I talked about this morning. Come on. I mean, a group of girls hold up a sign basically telling the guy they want to be in his bed? What is that all about? Come on, folks. Honestly, why are we not thinking? You have to renew your mind. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. I have to renew this mind. I have to hide God's word in my heart. James 1, verse 14. Look at it real quick. James 1, verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We got away a few weeks ago and went to Gary Dice's there in Pittsfield, Illinois. And we went out on a lake, went fishing early one morning. And we're out there fishing, and we had these lures. And they had who knows how many lures, all these different lures. And, well, what does that fish, what would they like? And so they tried this one out, and then they had this other one. That fish will like this. And Gary threw one out there, and he was bringing it back, and it was bubbling all the way back. And I thought, what in the world would like that? And all of a sudden, something hit it, you know. These are all made because somehow they interviewed a bunch of fish and asked them, what would you like? And the fish told them what they like, and that's what they made these lures to look like. You understand, the devil is going to put things in front of us that he knows we like. How does he know? Because he knows we think about those things. Not because he reads our mind, but because he knows what we've done in the past. That's why I have to renew my mind, because I don't want to be drawn away of my own lust and enticed. I want to stay close to God. I want thoughts that will keep me by him and close to him. I want thoughts that will cause me to say, shut up, devil. Leave me alone. I want thoughts that will cause me to say, I'll not think on those things. I'll think on things of God. I want to be very aware that God reads my mind. God knows my mind. God is in my mind. And I want to be very aware that if I'm thinking something wrong, he knows it's wrong. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee. But submitting to God. Submitting my mind to God. God, I don't want to think of anything except what you want me to think of. Resist the devil. Renew your mind. The capital C under this, respect the enemy. It amazes me how casual we are with our eyes, how casual we are with our ears. It's amazing. Psalm 101, verse 3, look at it. Psalm 101, verse 3. Respect the enemy. Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no... Why would he say that? Why would David say that? Now, by the way, David blew it. You think, you know, David, can you look at a woman bathing? Well, sure I can. I can handle that. Good night. I mean, don't you know I'm a man after God's own heart? Don't you know I'm strong? Don't you know I can, I've got this thing under control. And the biggest sin, we all point to it. We all go back to it. We all look at it. We all can't believe it. That David commits. And it's because he didn't follow, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Are you with me? I have teens all the time say, I can look at that and it doesn't bother me. You're a liar. You cannot look at half-naked girls and it not bother you. Unless you have issues. You're not going to do it. I'm sorry. It isn't going to happen. I don't care. And ladies, if your husband says he can't, he's lying to you. Because it ain't happening. We need to respect the enemy and understand the enemy is he's going to throw stuff at you that is going to stir you up. Could be that, could be stealing, could be a temptation for money, could be some kind of a money scheme, could be a chat room and glamorous ideas of romance or whatever it might be. He is a liar, but he is so tricky. He really is. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Well, I like Proverbs. It's good. You ought to read a proverb every day. Enter not into the path of the wicked. You see that? Why? Well, because I'm going to respect the enemy, that's why. Are you listening? Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. I can handle it. Why does God say avoid it? Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Why does he say that? Because he knows we don't respect the enemy and we'll go check out what they're up to. And pretty soon we're with them. Why? Because we put it in here. And then later on, we dwell on it. Proverbs 4, verse 24. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What's he saying? He's saying you need to respect the enemy. Respect the enemy. Job 31 and verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Wait, what? I made a covenant with mine eyes. Yeah, he made a covenant. He said, I'm not going to ever put you in a place where you have to look at something sinful. I made a covenant. And then he said this, why then should I think upon a maid? Is that why? Does our eyes affect our hearts? Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Yeah, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? By the way, I don't think the thinking there is of her serving him coffee. Hello. Respect the enemy. The enemy is out to destroy your marriage, your life, your children, your church, and it all goes right here. Right here. And whatever he can get us to listen to, the devil, the enemy, whatever he can get us to look at, whatever he can get us to like, I promise you, he's going to use it to try to destroy us. Respect the enemy. Capital D, remove any other chances for defeat. Remove chances for defeat. So important. You know, we with our children, when they were real little, you know, we took down the $10,000 vase. Right? Until they were old enough to know that that is not to be thrown. If you happen to have a $10,000, if it's $10, it's a vase, but otherwise it's a vase. But I'm just saying, you teach them, stay away from things that are wrong. A little child, at first they're removed. After they're mature, you replace them, you discipline, you tell them don't do that, don't touch that, whatever. And after more maturing, they don't even care. I use the illustration when Dave was probably 1 or 2 years old. I don't know. We had this little scale thing, and I thought it was kind of a dumb thing anyway. A little coaster thing. It held coasters, but it had little chains coming down, had a little scale on it. It was kind of cute, and Brenda liked it. And so anything she likes, I like. I put up with. But anyway, so this little thing sat on our little table there, and David got tall enough where he could reach up and touch it. But if you touch it, it was dainty, and it could have broken. Of course, I didn't really. But anyway, so he started to touch it, and I'll never forget this. And I said, no! And he just looked at me, you know, and he goes like this again. And I said, no! And he pulls his hand back, and then he looks at me again. And while he's looking, he goes like this. And I'll never forget, he just goes like this. And I mean, we had a board meeting. To this day, he won't touch that thing. No, the truth is, he got to a place where he didn't even care about it. But here, well, you know, maybe. If you ever get married, we'll probably give that to you as a wedding gift. But, you know, common sense. Remove chances for defeat. You know your weakness. I've told you many, many times. The guy, we sat at a little restaurant in Burn, Indiana. It was 1983 or 84. And the guy sat down and he said, you know, I'm having troubles with my marriage. And it all starts, and I know exactly what it is. He said, it's my thought life. He said, I cannot think about women in the right way. And when I see women dressed the way they do now, by the way, that was back in the 80s. He ought to see the average church today. But anyway, he said, I'm really having a hard time with this. And I said, well, where is this the biggest problem? He said, well, it's whenever I go to Pine Lake. I said, man, have I got a solution to your problem? He said, really, you do? I said, yeah. I said, don't go to Pine Lake. Now, that seemed like it made sense to me, and he got mad, and he slammed his hand on it. He said, I like going to Pine Lake. It cools me off, and we like to go swimming. And he made every kind of excuse in the world. I said, okay, go ahead and think perverted thoughts then. You say, well, that guy's really not very smart. That's, you know, so many are not very smart. Because we need to remove things that are going to appeal to a thought problem we might have. You know your problem. You know it better than anybody else does because it's your thoughts. You need to stay away. Again, that is if you want victory. By the way, that's why we have a Christian school, because we're trying to keep people from putting wrong thoughts in that they're going to regret someday. So that, you know, if we can keep them away from that, they can mature and get to a place where maybe they just won't care. But so many have put so much junk in now. You can see it. You see it on their face. Yeah. Certainly see it in what they wear. Proverbs 19, verse 27. You say, you keep kind of throwing some things in. Well, I just went to the fair. But I'm not preaching on that. Proverbs 19, 27 says this, cease, my son, to hear. Why is that? Because if you hear it, it's going to be a thought. Okay? Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So any instruction that is going to cause me to err from the Word of God, I need to cease from listening to it. By the way, that'd be gossip, that'd be discord, that'd be any of that kind of stuff. But certainly it would be somebody teaching that we're all descendants of apes. You say, nobody believed that. Most people believe that. Well, I say they believe that. They teach that. Whether they believe it or not, I have no idea, because that's more unbelievable than that there's a God. I think it takes more faith to believe in evolution, to be honest with you, because it is totally ridiculous. But you know, honestly, and I'm just about done. You know, again, you know, remove chances for defeat. You know, don't hang around people that look at pornography. Don't go to sites that are dirty. Don't go to sites that are going to be temptation. Don't go to sites. You know, there's a lot of sites you just need to quit going to on the internet. Just don't go. You say, I can't control it. Take your computer and take a hammer and bust it. You'd be better off. Well, Jesus said you're better to pluck your eye out than to go to hell with two eyes, didn't he? Well, it seems to me like rather than dirty and corrupt your brain, if you can't control it, you'd be better off just get rid of it. Do you know people have lived without computers? There actually are some folks in here that didn't have a computer when they were young. Really? I know, teenagers can't believe it. In fact, some of us used to dial with a rotary dial. Some used to pick up the phone and say, operator. It's hard to believe. But I'm just saying remove chance for defeat. You know, when I got saved, I had to get away from the rock and roll lifestyle. You know what that meant? That meant I couldn't go to concerts anymore. Does that seem to make sense to you? You say, but you like it. Oh, I did like it. And you know what? My flesh still likes it. But I don't go to rock concerts. Honestly, seriously, really. I know you can't hardly believe that, can you? Well, you got to stay away. I had to get away from people that cussed and swore because I didn't want to cuss and swear anymore. Had to get away from that, right? Amen. Remember, it's a battle. And if you have a weak wall in a battle, you better strengthen that wall because that's where you're going to be attacked. What is the sin that does so easily beset you? Understand, whatever it is, you know what it is. So does the devil. And that's where he's going to attack you. Remove any chances for defeat. And then the last thing, replace. Replace what is in your mind. That is absolutely crucial. That we start replacing things that are in our mind. Things that, and honestly, there's folks get saved and they get saved out of pretty rough lives. I think Simon got saved out of a pretty rough life. Replace what's in your mind. Philippians 4 is a verse, a chapter, and with verses that I give out often to people that have thought problems. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. The word keep there means guard, like a keeper of a prison. Shall keep, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what I need. I need a guard on my heart. I need a guard on my mind. I don't want that old garbage that I used to talk about and that old stuff that I used to do and those things that I saw. I don't ever want that to come out again. I need a keeper to keep it in. I need a keeper to keep it away. I need a guard to say, hey, you stay back. And then I have to replace that area with something else. And that's what verse 8 is all about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know when I hear an old 70s song, do you know I go to a Christian song immediately in my mind? Always. Always. You say, is it an old song you might like? Oh, did I ever like it? Sometimes I'll be in a restaurant and all of a sudden my toe starts to tap and I think, what in the world are you doing? Submit! And I'll go to Amazing Grace, or I'll go to Victory in Jesus, or I'll go to something else. Why? Because I'm trying to replace. Because that old thing is trying to sneak out of the prison. And the keeper is going to have to keep it back. And I got to replace what it used to do in my life. Why don't you try that? You know? You that are singing that song about being a truck ornament or a tractor person or being in bed with a guy or whatever that thing was. I don't know. Why don't you replace that with Victory in Jesus? An Amazing Grace. How in the world do you think you're going to make it for Jesus if you're thinking thoughts that are like that, just that one song, front page of the newspaper, which all the world says, wow, this is great. And I'm thinking, wow, what a mess. What a mess. But you see, you know what your thoughts are better than I do. Think on these things. And then he goes on and he says, those things which ye have both learned and received. How about go back to second grade Sunday school class. Think about what your teacher told you. Go back to fifth grade Sunday school class and think about what your teacher told you. Go back to a youth conference. Think about what the preacher said. Go back to chapel and think about yourself at the altar weeping over the sin that was committed that all started because you thought it. Go back to decisions you made. Go back those things which ye have both learned and received. You made the decision. And heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. The God of peace. What a blessing. Peaceful thoughts. People counsel, you know, all the time. You know, I can't get my thoughts straight. I can't get my thoughts right. I think wicked things. I don't know why I'm going through that. I don't understand. Well, I'm going to tell you. First of all, you need to recognize the problem. Number two, you need to realize the power of your thoughts. Number three, you need to repent in prayer and literally, vocally before God Almighty, you need to say, God, this is wrong. This thought is sin. This thought of lust is sin. This thought of unfaithfulness, it is a sin. Oh, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody. It does hurt somebody. It hurts you. And if David doesn't see Bathsheba and think, I'd like to be with her, he doesn't get with her. And if he says, I'd like to be with her in his mind, and Nathan the prophet happened to be there then and said, hey, thou art the man. Boy, he'd have saved himself a lot of trouble, wouldn't he? Maybe you need Nathan the prophet to come along with you sometime and remind you, hey, you shouldn't be thinking that. You're a Christian. Hey, that doesn't belong there. You're a saved person. And you get down on your knees and say, oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I thought that thought. That's exactly what Simon did here. Simon had a thought in his heart. The man of God said, that's a wicked thought. You need to ask God to forgive you and change your mind. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, God's speaking to my heart about something tonight? Pray for me, preacher. Raise your hand all over. God's speaking to my heart. Father, help us to protect our minds. Help us to purify our minds. Help us to be serious about it tonight. And I pray for some great victories in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.